Danger last year that you continue this year. We said well over 45,000 Palestinians have died in Gaza. Close to 800 have died in the West Bank under Israeli assault. Talk about the situation where you are.
Yeah, I mean, we're still seeing images of children pulled from under the rubble. It's unthinkable to me that it's been more than 14 months now into this genocide, and we're still seeing the same images. It seems like we're powerless, and it seems like the world is content with letting this go on. And here in the West Bank, as we watch from Bethlehem what's happening, or Ramallah or Hebron, we wonder, are we next? Israel has made it clear they plan to annex the West Bank next year. What would this mean on the ground? Again, we live in this moment of anticipation, of anxiety, and at the same time, we're broken by the fact that the world seems content with letting this go without serious efforts to make it stop or put accountability and restraint on those who commit war crimes.
Reverend Munther Isaac, we thank you so much for being with us. Palestinian Christian theologian, pastor at the Evangelical Lutheran Christmas Church in occupied Bethlehem, where his Christmas sermon this year was titled, Christ is Still in the Rubble. He was speaking to us from Palestine. That does it for our show. A happy birthday to Yusra Razuki. Democracy Now! Is produced with Renee Feltz, Mike Burke, Dina Guzder, Messiah Rhodes, Nermeen Sheikh, Maria Terracena, Tammy Warrenuff, Tarina Nadura, Sam Alcock, Tamari Astudio, John Hamilton, Ravi Karen, Hani Masood, Hannah Elias. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
KBOO, Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934. And certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. December's Governance and Policy Committee meeting will be rescheduled for January 21st at 6 p.m. The meeting will be held online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
Ready for another year of grassroots community radio? With your support, it's possible. Go to kboo.fm/give or mail a check to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214 to contribute to KBOO's $75,000 goal for our Catalog of Connections year-end campaign, going now until December 31st.
Good morning, and thank you for joining KBOO, your community radio station. You're listening to More Talk Radio. I am Cecil Prescott. KBOO, 90.7 FM in Portland, 91.9 FM in Hood River, 104.3 in Corvallis, and via the World Wide Web, it is kboo.fm. Today is Monday, the 23rd of December. It is approximately 8:02 a.m. And it is Monday morning. Thank you so much for joining us. And just a reminder for all of you who are listening that we are in the midst of our Catalog of Connection year-end campaign. You can help us reach our on-air goal of $75,000 by going to kboo.fm/give, clicking the red box Donate in the mobile app, or text KBOO to 44321, or mail to KBOO at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. All of this helps us. And as we geared towards the end of our campaign, we thank you so much for all of you who are participating in this and making sure that this community radio station, this community resource, continues to be a vital component of our community information hub. Again, I'm Cecil Prescott, and thank you so much for joining us. And today is Monday, the 23rd of December, as we edge towards the end of the year and in the middle of holiday season. So a few things that I wanted to share with you and also to have your input in is that as we come towards the end of the year, there's an opportunity to examine not only our lives, but the lives both personally and communally, both as an individual and both as a larger entity, perhaps as a neighborhood or city, county, community organization. But it's a time to examine and to say, review the year. What went well, what did not go well. So this is an opportunity as we come towards the end of the year to say what went well and what did not go well. And I'm interested in hearing some of your thoughts and your opinion. I thought we might do this. A way to do this is to perhaps have a little, well, not contest, but just an examination. So if you have persons you would select, and in the spirit of the season, I would say people or organizations or institutions who would be on your naughty or nice list. Who or what are those individuals and or institutions who deserve a piece of coal rather than receiving a treat for their behavior? So much has happened in politics, in government, in business, in local, state, national, and international. What are views and opinions of naughty and nice lists? It may seem easy to some people, or you might have to think a while. Those institutions, those individuals, those ways in which we either highlight that which is good or that which is not good. So give us a call, 503-231-8187. You have the authority and the power to dial those numbers and then offer suggestions of those nominees for naughty and or nice, and perhaps where do you see them going into the future? Now, a simple suggestion, and I'm sure it's an easy pick in terms of naughty and nice lists. There has been so much going on in our nation, indeed in our world, and as our nation begins prepare for the inauguration of a new president and a new administration, we are challenged by what does that mean for all of us. And while I can easily say without any hesitation that perhaps the incoming president is on my naughty list, perhaps we might want to say why, in terms of who he is and what he has done. And I thought a lot that has been going on in this past week has highlighted how, well, not dangerous, we all knew that, but how reckless, well, we all knew that. Well, since we already know this, just what a strange world we are living in. And I've thought as I review the struggle in the U.S. Congress last week to come up with a budget resolution or a way to keep the government running, that it was interesting to see how the incoming president flexed his muscles to try to strong arm the House. There was a deal, a compromise deal that was agreed upon of both parties. The incoming president said no, but also I think is as important is not only the incoming president, but the role of, and I do not know his title, the role in terms of his position in the new administration. It sounds awfully Orwellian to me in terms of this agency that this person will head. But the role of Elon Musk and the billionaire class that they will have on the Trump administration. Elon Musk, when he saw the proposed agreement, went on his social media platform, denounced it, and sought to destroy the compromise. He highlighted or emphasized the incoming president's objection and the power of this individual is one that should be of concern to all people in terms of the influence that this person will have on the presidency. It's dangerous. It's certainly reckless. And as calls are being made, and to elect Elon Musk as Speaker of the House, some people might say, "Oh, that's ridiculous. That will never happen." Or he's not even a member of Congress. Well, what we do know is that you do not have to be a member of Congress to be the Speaker of the House. And in fact, there were discussions last year when there were attempts to find a Speaker of the House a year ago that perhaps Mr. Trump might be suited to be Speaker of the House. But 1 year later, Mr. Trump is the incoming president of the United States. Mike Johnson continues to be Speaker of the House. And for, recent Republican Speakers of the House, he's been there for a long time. But there's rumors about whether or not he will stay as Speaker of the House and whether or not he can exercise the independence that's needed to do the role that a speaker must do. Thus comes the theory that perhaps we should look, not we, but the president and those who are his supporters should look to a more dependable person to make sure that the president's agenda gets through Congress, and perhaps that person should be Elon Musk. So a question that I have that should be concerned for all of us is the role of this individual and whether or not this person has undue influence on the incoming president of the United States. Well, certainly Donald Trump has noticed the noise and the noise about Elon Musk and his influence on the presidency. And so the incoming president went to a convention, the Turning Point USA American Fest conference this weekend, and and made it clear that Elon Musk is not the shadow president. And he said that that is all an accusation. Mr. Trump said, you know, they're on a new kick, all the different hoaxes. The new one is that President Trump has ceded the presidency to Elon Musk. No, no, that's not happening. Perhaps I think he protests too much. But the president has tapped Elon Musk to be the co-leader of this Department of Government Efficiency. Now, it's not an entity that exists now. It's for all of us, it's an unofficial, it's a new creation. Department of Government Efficiency is an effort, so-called effort, to cut federal spending. So who does the president-elect choose to run this? Is this the richest man in the world? And who has conflicts of interest all over the place? You know, companies he owns, car companies, rocket launcher companies. They are all federally regulated. And it seems to me that there certainly seemed to be a conflict of interest. So the president went to this conference and said that even though Musk helped stop the bipartisan budget proposal from passing, that certainly Mr. Musk is not the shadow president, as some people have asserted. Indeed, Representative Dan Goldman of New York said that we need to face the reality right now. We have President Elon Musk and Donald Trump. Maybe he's vice president. I guess vice presidents don't do much, so that makes sense. He might be the chief of staff, so said Representative Dan Goldman. But give me your thoughts on terms of unity and niceness or other consideration about the incoming administration. We'll go to our first caller, and Mary has some thoughts for us. Good morning, Mary. How are you?
Hi, Cecil. I was curious that nobody's mentioning his pick for Treasury Secretary.
No.
Do you know who that is?
No, you tell me.
Okay, his name's Bessette, and he worked for George Soros, supposedly helping him break the Bank of England. So now he's the nomination from Donald Trump.
Huh. Well.
He's a gay man, he's married, and he has two children.
Okay.
So, and I have not heard anybody anywhere mention it.
Well, do you think that his record is a cause of concern?
Well, I don't personally believe that anybody can break the Bank of England. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know how all that happened, but that's when he became a multi-billionaire. And it just looks like there isn't a choice.
No.
There wasn't a choice. And it seems that he's in charge of all alternative media. I don't know how much money he's given to all of alternative media, but it's been a lot.
You're speaking of Scott Bessent?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No, wow. I'm talking about the Open Society Foundation has given money to all alternative media. And now the guy that worked for George Soros is going to be the Treasury Secretary. And I'm pretty sure he's going to get in.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah, and then Yeah, let's see, and if anybody else has any thoughts.
So, okay, well, thank you so much.
Merry Christmas, happy holidays.
Happy New Year. Happy holidays to you as well. And you're listening to More Talk Radio here in your community radio station, KBOO FM. Our last caller, Mary, was sharing some of her thoughts and insights in terms of the incoming administration, and shared a little information about the Treasury Secretary designate that President-elect Trump has chosen, and of course, member of the billionaire class, so that's an interesting choice. And Mary had some thoughts about that and some consideration. I did not ask whether or not Mary thought that Mr. Besant, and I trust that's the way to pronounce his name, should be on the naughty or nice list. I suspect from what she was saying that he would be on the naughty list. But certainly that is someone who should be aware of. And certainly he's, you know, another billionaire, founder of a hedge fund company. And, you know, it's someone we should be aware of. You know, he gained prominence, as she mentioned, as a chief investment officer at the Soros Fund Management, and as the U.S. Treasury Secretary, he will advise the president on economic and fiscal matters, including spending and taxes. This role is seen as the top financial job in any administration, and so again in this administration we see that it is handing it over to the billionaire class. We began our conversation this morning by talking about whether or not Elon Musk is in fact the shadow president, and Mary reminded us that Elon Musk is not the only billionaire in advising the president in the incoming president's administration, but others as well. What are some of your thoughts? Our numbers are 503-231-8187. Seems like, naughty. Lots of people will receive a piece of coal in their stockings this summer. But let's hear what your thoughts are. Let's go to Santiago. Good morning. How are you this morning?
Oh, I'm doing okay. How about you, Cecil?
I'm well. Thank you.
Yeah. Good. You know, the whole thing with, people who talk about, George Soros, you know, they don't recognize that, like, you know, when people talk about George Soros, it's usually in, like, this sort of like hushed tones, as right. If there's like a, what do you call it? Like a conspiracy.
Yes.
You know, they don't realize that, like, you know, the equivalent, if you want to call it that, on the other side is Robert Mercer, who has also poured money into what would be considered right-wing politics. But I mean, at the end of the day, whether you're talking about Robert Mercer, George Soros, or even Elon Musk, we forget that, like, the biggest influence that pours money into politics at any given time is the is AIPAC, you know, the Israel lobby, you know, which has had, like, far greater devastating influences on people who could be chosen for Congress. I mean, we just watched, Cori Bush and Jamal Bowman get primaried because of their support for Palestinian people. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important for people to remember that, you know, that going into this presidency, that all we're seeing is the removal of the middleman.
Mm.
You know, we have legalized bribery in this country. It's called lobbying. You know, we have, you know, legalized cover for millionaires as it is, because, you know, they have access to the Cayman Islands, where they can hide away there. They can find loopholes to keep their cash tax free. You know, at the end of the day, I'm not saying this to, like, you know, I'm just saying, I'm talking about it because, you know, we need to get our our minds in perspective over what's going on. Because, I mean, yes, it is bad, but we also have to recognize that it didn't get this way overnight, and that there were a lot of other things in place that we allowed to slide on the notion of civility and, you know, bipartisanship or whatever you want to call it, to be able to allow to happen, even to the people that, you know, we as, you know, I guess maybe if you consider yourself a progressive, people that we consider progressives, that, or, you know, at the very least Democrats, who are supposed to have the interests of working people at heart, we allowed those things to slide because we figured they were fighting for us.
So let me ask you, since you raised that important point, that this did not happen overnight, that things slowly turn. What efforts can we make to turn the tide? How can we make efforts?
Well, the same three things. I'll tell you the same three things I say every time. Number one, people have to join unions.
Okay.
Unionization is a great way to start working on a grassroots level to build, because what we need essentially is dual power. And one of the ways we build dual power is through unions, because we're talking about class solidarity.
That's a term I may not be familiar with. Dual power? Expand that.
Dual power. Mm-hmm. So dual power is essentially where we create power and infrastructure that poses a challenge to the current power structure. Mm-hmm. You know, you talk about like the free breakfast programs that mm-hmm. were created by the Black Panthers, or free medical clinics that allowed them to be able to treat poor and working folks, things like that. You know, there's a lot of other things. I mean, you could even talk about like creating like a small form of a governance that through the ability to speak to people around the, you know, people, you know, working class people around the world that we all abide by, regardless of, you know, regardless of who's in power in, you know, in a particular area. So
yes.
I mean, there, you know, so, but anyway, so there's unions,
mm-hmm.
and then there is also mutual aid, which is essentially another part of that, you know, community building dual power, where we, you know, it's not charity, we're literally aiding one another in the things that we need, whether it's food, whether it's shelter, whether it's clothes, things like that, protection, whatever.
Right. So before you go to the third part, in returning back to mutual aid, you emphasized it's not charity. Why is it not charity, and how is it different from charity? Expand that a little bit more. Then, you know, I see my neighbor over there, so go ahead.
So charity comes from a place of pity, where you look at people who are lesser than you and you're giving to them because they need.
Okay.
Where you're seeing it from a lens of compassion or empathy, where they are on the same level as you and in the same struggle as you, and you're giving to them in a way that also gives to yourself.
Excellent. Okay.
And then thirdly, joining political organizations that have nothing to do with electoral politics. And I'm talking like La Raza Unida Party, Party for Socialism and Liberation, African Socialist People's Party, All African People's Revolutionary Party. There's a whole bunch of them. And essentially this is where you get your political education, where you're not looking at politics from a lens of trying to vote for the lesser of two evils, but understanding how evil pervades both parties and why it does. And, you know, and that gives us the political education to be able to inform the other two pieces. And it allows us to create solidarity.
So these political organizations is for political education. That's a priority, rather than running for electoral office or city council or something.
Yes, because a lot of them understand that the politics that we hold are currently corrupted. That the party politics that we're forced to be involved in are inherently corrupted, and we need to understand why, understand how it got there, and by those things we can understand where it's going in the future.
Yes.
And you know, and so and that essentially allows us. I wouldn't say the term is ungovernable, but it makes us less, it dispels the idealist illusions that, you know, perhaps the Democratic Party, for example, when they tell us, you know, that, like, you know, when they tell us that, you know, all we got to do is, you know, all we got to do is, you know, we got to continue capitulating to a system that only gives money to people who do the bidding of millionaires, when we've seen in other countries where a strong working class movement is able to overthrow those, is able to overthrow and even work past those systems of government, right, that eventually allow and give way to the people being able to manage themselves, because we've got people in power right now who have no connection to the people, who have no connection to what's on the ground, and it's immiserating all of our lives, and right, by extension, because people's lives are so immiserated, they're able to believe any sort of lie that's given to them, whether it's by, you know, whether it's by Democrats who, you know, who claim to be working on behalf of the working class people when they will primary or get rid of anybody who does just that. Or you're talking about, you know, the Republican Party, where, you know, they've been you know, they've been duped into voting for a strong man who says he's going to fix all of our problems by deporting a million people, when that won't even fix the problems of the people who voted for him.
May I ask you, in terms of looking at these political parties, after every election, the party that losers usually have this mea culpa and they self-examination about what went wrong. A tendency of the my observation of the Democrats when they lose national elections is that they do this mea culpa, and rather than really examining themselves, saying, well, how can we be more like that? So how can we be like Republicans light? So you have the Clinton-esque sense of Democrats, and same thing similar to Barack Obama and Biden. You don't really have those really critical examinations. Is it possible for these political parties, and I'm not even mentioning the Republican Party, to have really critical examination and saying we are doing things wrong?
Well, not really, because the people that they take money from, you know, number one, are not connected to the people, and number two, you know, the political system that we're under requires us to not even look at our material conditions and what we're dealing with at face value, because, you know, if you actually had to look at them, you know, you would realize there's something wrong and you'd have to fix it. You know, and we're constantly convinced that, you know, all of our problems are just in our mind.
Right, right.
You know, we just need to work harder when you can't work your way out of crippling debt, or, you know, the inability to have a house, or, you know, or being able to retire at an early age.
Well, thank you. You've certainly raised these points. And again, I think it's important to say over and over again in terms of how to recognize and to acquire and maintain power, your observations that workers need to join union, that everyone needs to participate in mutual aid, supporting one another's, not looking down upon people, but seeing how we can benefit and lift us all up together. And in terms of, and the third thing you mentioned is in terms of getting involved in political organizations, not political organizations in terms of electoral politics, but in terms of understanding and gaining political power. I appreciate what you're saying, and I hope you have a good holiday. And so I guess you're not sending Mr. Trump any presents for Christmas, huh?
Nope, not this year.
Okay, all right. All right, well, thanks so much. Stay well.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, Cecil.
And to you. And you're listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. I'm Cecil Prescott, and we're talking about who's on your naughty and nice list. Let's go to our next caller, Tangent. Good morning. How are you today?
Hey, Brother Cecil. I'm well, and I hope you are, and I know you are as well. I wanted to bring a couple of things up. One is, the first is, I've been thinking about this for a while, but okay, there was a guy named Steve Forbes who ran, was it in the 80s?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And remember all the back, oh, we don't want some rich guy in, as a president. Totally flopped, right?
All right.
Okay. And then, but I want to bring up this thing, this latest, how they keep us distracted is by these budget crises all the time.
Okay.
And now, there's no way that, and I don't remember these before the 80s. I think that came up on Democracy
mm-hmm.
Now.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, as if they're going to actually let Social Security checks stop going out. If that ever happened, that whoever voted for that would not be voting next election, you know. One other thing is, like, we have these terms and phrases, and one is a loophole. A loophole was originally a slot in a castle tower where the angles were set on stone, so one could shoot out an arrow, but an arrow could not come in. It would hit the wall. Get it?
Yes.
Yes, and so I'm just curious why we use these phrases as tax loopholes. Maybe somebody's shooting at us, but we can't shoot back.
Well, you answered your question. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's enough. I'm going to still work on Word.
Word. So
that's our only power, you know.
That's a word.
Santiago mentions mutual assistance. That's what we always do. He was talking about something like dual power or dual power. And I think it's like an antidote to duality, always seeing things in opposites. Here's one for you as a parting thing. I read in A Course of Miracles, there's 50 principles of miracles, and one was that, miracles are not size, there is no great or small miracle. Miracles happen when people are in harmony,
okay.
And they don't when things are in a natural state. This is the other, it wasn't one of the things. Here we go.
Wait a second. I want to go back to, what was this book? Is this a book, Course of Miracles?
Course of Miracles. It was written by a couple of Harvard professors who were not religious at all, and so it's automatic writing or something. You take it for what it is, but here's the one thing it said, and I think everybody needs to hear. Hate is not the opposite of love. That which is all-encompassing can have no opposite. How about that?
I'm writing it down. So that which is...
all-encompassing can have no opposite. Think, I look at it like this. We have night and day here, but in outer space, it's dark looking in one direction, but light is always emanating from the sun. So it's not... You see what I'm saying? If you're behind something.
Okay. Well, that... Okay, well, thank you. Okay, repeat it one more time. Hate is not the opposite of love. That which is... But
that which is all-encompassing, mm-hmm. i.e. love, can have no opposite.
Can have no opposite. And, you know, you made an observation about that, and that's helpful to know. Thank you, Tanji.
Yeah, and here, this is for Francis and all. I know who... Hearts are not breaking exactly because, anyway, that's another expression, but are certainly in mourning and grieving over what's happening in Palestine.
Yes.
I'm looking for a reverse David and Goliath.
Reverse David? Now you know, you're looking forward to that? Explain, Tangent. Reverse. So Goliath?
Well, you know, everybody knows the story of David and Goliath.
Yeah.
God could lead them, but... I'm shortening it, of course, but I would like to see Gaza have a David or whatever. There's a Palestinian name probably for David. Yes.
Okay.
I'm not looking to actually... I guess it's us, the world, need to rise up and be that David.
I see.
The whole world is watching.
I was confused when you said a reversal. I thought you wanted Goliath to win. But, okay, I got you.
All right. I need a Palestinian... International Community David. How about that?
All right. Hey, thank you so much, Tangent. Thank you for sharing, and thank you for all you are and for your ability to tell us about language. I appreciate it.
Do we have one more? Because we were talking about X before. It was to be real short.
Well, I had to be real short because someone's waiting to speak.
Okay, I hear you. Okay, it was originally called Twitter. And remember Bambi, where the owl said, they're all Twitter-pated.
No, I don't remember that, but I trust you. Thank you
they're
so much.
They're all Twitter-pated. Okay, in love with Twitter.
Thank you. And you're listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. I'm Cecil. And who are on your naughty or nice list? But Lou is on my nice list because they always have something good to say. Good morning.
Well, it sounds like your nice list may or may not be including David's Fighting Goliath and also language. But I had two or three things that may or may not be relevant. We tend to, with, as you know, Portland Grey Panthers, focus on local stuff. So
yes,
people at KBOO especially might be following, there's an election coming up, about who's going to be city council president.
So, yes.
Now, it's going to be January 2nd, so it's about 10 days away. At Portland State, we had a meeting about that yesterday, very high-level two-hour discussion about that specific thing. There's another meeting at PSU next Sunday at 11 a.m. But the choices on that one, and then I had two other things. I know you want people to be short. City council choices for president. Okay, the 12 members of the new city council decide who they want to be president. There are three women contending. They are on council now. Alana Pirtle-Ginney. Olivia Clark, and Candace Avalos, and there's 12 votes. So at the moment, there's just an article, I think, of Lambent Week that said that each one of these three women have four votes. So it's deadlocked three ways at the moment. People can't vote ourselves, but we can influence who we might want to see as student council president, which is kind of an important position in the new system. So when we talked about
could you say a little bit about the city council president? What will be their role?
Well, in the new system, the city council president sets the agenda for the 12 new members of the council in the new system.
Yeah.
And it might be that, this is a research question, if it's like San Francisco, that if something happens to the new mayor, Keith Wilson, that probably won't happen. Who becomes the new mayor? Would that be the city council president? It was Dianne Feinstein in San Francisco when Mayor Moscone and Harvey Milk were assassinated. But I was going to mention a couple things on those three people. Alana Pirtle-Ginney was the person who managed M114, which passed a gun reform measure. She's the only person after the election November 5th that's talked to Panthers in person at Portland State. Olivia Clark is, what would you say? She communicates and donates to different groups. She's been around a long time. She worked at TriMet for 20 years. So the West Side people seem to support Olivia. And there's Candace Avalos, which most of the people at our meeting were supporting Candace because she supports, represents underrepresented people. She'd be a woman of color as council president. So between the three of those women, one of them will be council president. I was also on a second thing, going to just try to mention two others. One is I'm not sure what the opposite of coal is, but those of us who organize want to be thankful to people who've helped out on projects. So you may remember, well, you probably do, there's a boycott against Walmart, and Keith Wilson, who's the newly elected mayor, has actually endorsed the Walmart boycott, which we've never had that with someone who becomes a mayor in Portland working on one of the activist projects. And let's see, Alana Pirtle-Ginney managed, like I said, M114, a gun reform measure. Olivia Clark helped on donating time and money. Sharon Myron, who's a retiring term-limited county commissioner, just happened to donate $300 yesterday. She's been in 8 years, and she's been an advocate.
She donated $300 to?
$300 to Portland Grey Panthers.
To you.
Keith Wilson, actually, he's been, this is sort of different for us, Cecil, that we've been doing this for a while, so we know that got elected specifically. And Keith donated over 3 years, $1,000, $1,000 to Panthers. I also was just going to mention, I don't know if anyone's talked about this on your program, but in terms of Christmas presents to people locally, in terms of film, we have a film program at PSU, and there's two movies that one's opened and one's going to open on Christmas Day. The Dylan movie, the biography when he started out of Bob Dylan, starts out Christmas with Timothée Chalamet, if I'm saying his last name right, which sounds like a really good film. But the one I thought you might have already seen or know about is The Order. And we're going to do a thing next Sunday where we're going to ask a group to go watch it. The Order is about Aryan Nations in Idaho in 1985, a true story, dramatization. Jude Law plays the FBI agent that investigates and then brings in a task force to break them up. The Order was Bob Matthews, who was the more extreme version he organized out of Aryan Nations. So in Aryan Nations, which is Richard Butler, you may know all this stuff.
Yeah.
Had maybe 200 people at a big meeting in this story about why, with gigantic Nazi flags and anti-Jewish, anti-black rhetoric.
So
and
we're
Bob Matthews organized, and I knew some of this, but not all of it.
So where's this film showing?
Basically, to move towards what MAGA and the January 6th rioters did 4 years ago for Trump. The film doesn't mention Trump by name, but does talk a great deal about anti-racist organizing. So
okay.
I thought I'd see if you had heard about it or gone to see it already.
I have not. And it's in theaters now?
Yeah, Fox 10 downtown.
Okay.
Rodney Page said he's going to try to go to it with us as well. So thanks. Sorry it's too long.
Okay. No
Bye.
Problem. Thank you
Bye.
So much. Thank you for sharing and that valuable information about those films. And thank you for reminding us of the Portland City Council, those of you within the city are concerned about that. So thank you. And thank you for the work of Great Panthers. Let's go to our next caller, Mike. Good morning.
Hello.
Yes.
Good
hi.
Morning. We were talking about language a little bit, and
yes.
I just finished a book. It was called Surfing in the Himalayas, which is kind of an introduction to tantric Buddhism, and within there they talk about two infinite. He says there's only two infinite objects in the world, and one is love and the other is change. And so we've mentioned some really cool words in your talks today. I think this dual power is really it was a good word.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got your naughty list and your good list, and those are words too, but I don't think they're as important as I think people have to get organized around that. One of the things about tantric Buddhism, too, is they say that if you can describe anything in words, it's an incomplete perception.
Yes.
Every word description is an incomplete perception, and so you have
yes.
to take all the words that are happening in today's world and realize that they're all incomplete. There is no perfect one. And so, and then you have to work within that change. And,
let me ask you to pause for a second. There is no perfect word. Is that what you're saying?
There is no perfect description.
Description. Okay, yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Continue.
There is no perfect. Trump doesn't have the answer. Biden doesn't have the answer. Jesus doesn't have the answer. They're all incomplete.
Mm-hmm.
They're, you know, Buddhism, it's all incomplete.
Okay.
And so that's why we need the whole world to be, we're in motion, you
yes.
know, we're in change. And so I really like that, the first guy who started talking about that dual power, because, like, unionize, what was it? Shared welfare,
uh-huh.
And
mutual
then,
aid, and
mutual aid, yeah. Mm-hmm. And what was the?
Let's see, political organizations.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then get your political power together as
yes.
a group.
Yes.
I think those are really, really primary goals or words or something that we move within in our daily life, and that's really all we can change is our daily life.
Yes.
You know, like what we do and what we accomplish. And the older I get, I realize it's all about projects. You know, you just keep doing projects until you can't do them anymore.
Uh-huh. That's
so,
very insightful, Mike. And the book you mentioned at the beginning of Surfing in the Himalayas?
Surfing in the Himalayas.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And it's all about a snowboarder who kind of who snowboarded all the mountains of America, and then he goes to the Himalayas to surf the Himalayas.
Hey, interestingly enough, someone mentioned that book to me a couple of weeks ago, so I might have to pick it up.
See, it's all synchronicity or whatever. Okay, happy New Year to everybody and good projects.
All right. Thank you so much, Mike. And you are listening to More Talk Radio here in your community radio station, KBOO-FM. Our last caller, Mike, was talking about reminding us about how to get organized and suggested surfing in the Himalayas. And it's a good read in terms of examining how we live and how we ought to live. Before Mike spoke, we had a conversation with Lou, who shared some of their thoughts on what's happening. And they mentioned in terms of Portland, Oregon City Council, that there is, well, I guess an internal election for city council president among three city council members, and that's something that people should be concerned about. Portland has a new form of government, so it's unfolding now, and I think it's important to understand the roles of the city council persons, and perhaps I think all of us need to do a little reflection and examination research in terms of city council president and the fact that there are three candidates, 12 city council persons, and each person is evenly divided among the three candidates about who will be city council president. So do some research about that and speak to your city council people if you live in Portland. Before Lou, Tangent, shared some thoughts about the world we live in and the budget, the economy, and also about language, how we speak about language. And Santiago, as Mike reminded us, told us about how we need to get a new perspective, need to get our mind, think differently, that the situation we're in now did not happen overnight, but it was gradual, you know, sort of like boiling water. It just feels fine at first, but gradually it boils, and, you know, you may not know about the story about crab or lobster in a pot of water and gradually boil it. Mary began our conversation this morning by sharing some of their thoughts about the nominee for new Treasury Secretary, and that quickly I forgot their name, which is a reminder about how much work we need to do. New Treasury Secretary will be Scott Bessent, B-E-S-S-E-N-T. Someone you should be concerned about and things we need to work for. I began this morning by asking people to think about this time of year. We're approaching the end of the year. Those of you might have had a chance as children to have grew up with the idea of Santa Claus and naughty and nice list. And so I ask who's on the naughty list and who's on the nice list, whether institutions and or persons, individuals, it could be prominent, people, certainly, and institutions. We had some interesting and some terrific ideas today, and I appreciate all of you. I failed to mention that, you know, we, you know, in this season of different holidays, and there are a bunch of holidays this season, so that's why you say happy holidays as opposed to something else. But there's so much happening, and I want all of us to take time to be careful with one another and be careful with each other as we reflect as a community and as individuals who we are and what we can do. There's an opportunity to think about moving forward, and one of the ways you can do moving forward is, as we end 2024, is saying how can I be responsible to make sure that that independent community base, community driven media continues. You have the opportunity, we all have the opportunity right now to join in our Catalog of Connections year-end campaign. We have a goal of $75,000. It's an opportunity for you to express in a meaningful way your support. You can be on our nice list. And you are on our nice list. And so please go to kboo.fm/give, or you can click the red box donate on your mobile app. And if you haven't downloaded your mobile app, go to your local app store and download it. Another way to contribute to this is text KBOO 244321. And if you want to, I was going to say old school, but maybe traditional, mail a paper check, or I guess you can mail your contribution to KBOO at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. Help us keep the end-of-year campaign going strong, and we look forward to the opportunity to doing great things in the new year. It will be a time of expectations. No one is ever quite sure of what the future brings, but what we do know is that we as a people together can weather any storm. And as our callers reminded us, there's so much to do. So thank you so much for joining us this morning. I want to remind you to stay tuned to this radio station. Stay tuned for programming that is instructive, programming that is educational, programming that moves your spirit, programming that inspires you. Stay tuned this morning for more public affairs programming. And any time of the day, you can listen to KBOO and get the information and the music you need. I'm Cecil Prescott. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm going to go off the air so I can drink some water and attend to my cough. But look forward to speaking with you next week. Take care, and thank you.
You are listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO's 2024 Catalog of Connections is hot off the presses. To get your copy featuring your favorite programs, letters from the board,